And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Mikko Rantanen traded again. The fantasy follow from a chaotic deadline is coming your way, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, trade deadline recap edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, and Chris Meaney with you. What's going on, Jake?
Nick, I thought deadline day as we knew it was dead based on the last few years where all the big trades tend to happen, but I was dead wrong on that. It was great to have a classic deadline again, some huge moves, obviously the Mikko Rantanen, so we're going to get into that with Chris Meaney. And this deadline edition of the show is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
I don't know if you guys got any sleep last night. Nick, I saw you on X late last night when there was some Mikko Rantanen talk, right? It's like, whoa, is this really going to go down tonight? And then, you know, when you wake up, it's like, maybe the deal's going to fall through. But, man, I echo what Jake said. Just an exciting NHL trade deadline and having Mikko Rantanen be shipped not once but twice over the past few weeks. Pretty remarkable.
Look, I won't lie. I was double amped up for that trade, the first of which I'm a hockey fan. I love trades. The fact that Mikko Rantanen's dealt twice in like 2 months is insanity to me, but I'm a Leafs fan, and they were connected to Mikko Rantanen, and I'm like, oh my goodness, imagine the Leafs somehow acquire Mikko Rantanen. So that's probably why I was up at 3 a.m. Guys, we got to start there. I feel like it's Groundhog Day, Jake. Like a month ago, before the Four Nations, we're talking about Mikko Rantanen going to Carolina. He has dealt again. But I could tell you for at least the next 8 years, he's going to be with the Dallas Stars. Do you like the fit? I like the look of that top line there.
I love the fit. Obviously, the fit, and was such a small sample size in Carolina, it's hard to say it was a bad fit or it wouldn't have worked if they kept him. And I still look at Carolina and that roster, and I think, hey, there might have been some value just to say, even if you lose him in the offseason, keep him, take a run at the Stanley Cup. So we can maybe get into that angle. But the Dallas fit, from a fantasy perspective, Nick, they actually play a similar style. Meaney, I'm curious your take on this, but they play a similar style to Carolina just in the way that they roll their lines. They're not a team that's necessarily going to be top-heavy and stack those lines. So I actually think there are some similarities there. But that being said, I think the fit in Dallas is much better than it was in Carolina. It never felt like he really wanted to be there. It just felt kind of strange right from the get-go. And maybe he had his world turned upside down. All of a sudden, he makes his way back to the Central Division, Meaney. And that Dallas top six, top nine looks absolutely stacked right now.
It's definitely the best nine in the NHL. I don't think there's any question. And if you look at since the calendar has turned to 2025, you see Y. Johnson, Jason Robertson, Rupe Hintz, who's found himself, you know, he's been the best scorer since the Four Nations faceoff, and you add Matthew Shane. So there's four guys all of a sudden inside the top 10 in scoring, and now you're adding Mikko Rantanen there as well. Plus you have, you know, come playoff time, Tyler Seguin returns. We know how well that line was with Matt Duchene and Mason Marchment. Mikael Granlund, right? The versatility as well, can move up and down the lineup. And why Johnson's an absolute stud. We haven't even talked about Jamie Benn and his playoff experience. So, Nick, there's a lot to like. And from a fantasy hockey perspective, we talked a couple weeks ago, right? We're like, who would you rather have the rest of the way? Martin Natchez or Mikko Rantanen? And now Mikko Rantanen, for us, he's found himself back inside the top 10 in our rankings.
Yeah, I'm back in on Mikko Rantanen. I love this move, not only now, but for the future of this organization, just sort of surrounded by still like youth, right? When you look at Johnston, you look at Maverick Bourque, Miro Heiskanen's still relatively young. Then you got an influx of some vets in that lineup. They are ready to win right now. Not to mention the fantasy appeal. I think it just boosted. It just never felt right for Mikko Rantanen with Carolina, which is weird to say because his best friend and Sebastian Aho was there. But I wasn't a big fan of him entering that system. It worked out that way. What did he play? 13 games in total with Carolina. But now in Dallas, and I love revenge. The potential of a first-round matchup here, guys, with Colorado. Well, you want to talk about winners, means on the day. The Colorado Avalanche. I love the Nelson pickup. I love the Charlie Coyle pickup. I'm going to include Natchez in this conversation. Drury, Lindgren. Colorado is ready for a postseason push. And means, imagine a first-round matchup, Colorado and Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, last year we got Vegas and Dallas, and we're like, oh, like, amazing, but one of those two teams is going to be sent home, and it's looking like we'll see that matchup, right? As long as Winnipeg keeps winning and Minnesota keeps sliding, we'll see Colorado jump up. You're right. Let's include Mackenzie Blackwood in there as well as a pickup they had this season. So Colorado, if they're not clear winners, they're, you know, 1B here in everything that you just said. And I look at them, Jake, when they won the Stanley Cup a few years ago, they had Nazem Kadri and they lost Kadri and they were missing that second line center. And Casey Mittelstadt was not that guy. And, you know, you bring in Brock Nelson, who is a guy that's had 30 plus goals in the past three seasons. He's inside the top 25 since 2021 in goals. This is 18 plus in every year but one. We're talking like 11 of 12. This is a goal scorer now on that second line with Nichushkin, with Durant, and now what Nick just said with Charlie Coyle, like what he brings to the experience, the physicality, he can kill penalties, he can play on the second power play. I really like what the Avs did.
Boys, it was an arms race in the Central Division. Colorado, probably one of the more aggressive teams. And this is going back to the start of the season, right? Fixing their goaltending. And they haven't watched the paint dry at all. Same thing in the Atlantic. I know we're going to get into what happened there. That was just crazy watching Florida, Tampa, Toronto. There's going to be some upset franchises in the first round because not everybody can win, right? And that's the price of you pay at the deadline. Nick, I wanted to ask you quickly just the other side of this deal, probably not going to get talked about as much. Everybody's enamored with Rantanen. Okay, is Dallas a legitimate cup favorite now? How about Logan Stankoven in Carolina? Because he is sitting on quite a few waiver wires out there. Do you think there's a fit there? Would you say his value goes up in Carolina as to where it was in Dallas?
Again, and guys, we talk about this so much specifically on this podcast. Whenever a player goes to the Carolina Hurricanes, you're sort of intimidated because you don't know how he's going to fit in that system. I felt the exact same way. We can pull up the tape. When they made that deal, they brought Rantanen in just because they like to spread the wealth. And I see the lines right now, and we haven't seen them actually in real-life form, but I could see Stankoven on the third line. Like, I just don't think his value is boosted whatsoever by this transaction. I guess it depends on his deployment, but right now, Jake, I don't see a boost. How about you?
No, I don't either. I think it's kind of a similar situation to Dallas, and we know he had some success there early in the season with the Stars, and then it tapered off, and that's why he's sitting on a lot of waiver wires. I mean, at one point, he was looking like a steal in fantasy drafts, late rounds, and now you could just basically scoop him off the wire. So in a deep league, maybe you give him a look just to see if he can catch a good line combination or something like that, but I wouldn't expect a ton of value for Logan Stankoven down the stretch in Carolina.
And Means, I'd love for you to jump on that and also like what this means sort of from the Colorado perspective, getting back to that trade. I think Charlie Coyle loses a lot of value going to line three, but Brock Nelson, his value's been up and down all season, but I'm actually really excited to see Brock Nelson in more of an open system. The Islanders have constantly struggled to score goals.
Yeah, oh, big time. And, you know, the Avs lean on their top guys. You're talking about Rantanen when he went to Carolina. He saw a decline in minutes. I mean, he's probably going to still flirt with the same amount of ice time, but top heavy, right? I mean, even with Charlie Coyle on that third line, I agree with you, probably a decline as well. And in overall production from a fantasy hockey standpoint, maybe you'll stream him when the Avs are on, you know, a four-game week. But Brock Nelson is a guy, like, if he's on your waiver wire in an 8-team league, a 10-team league, and he's out there in those shallower leagues, he's an automatic pickup, you know, just being alongside Nichushkin and Durant. And, you know, that Colorado likes to shuffle their lines. Maybe Lekkonen is his line mate at one point. So really like the uptick from him. And, you know, there's a couple players as we kind of transition into some of the Eastern Conference squads, like, how about Ottawa? Like, I know that they're not a legit Stanley Cup contender, but Dylan Cousins coming over, Josh Norris hasn't really been 100%, you know, over the past couple of years, Nick, and then Fabian Zetterlund as well. You know, you got to figure both of those players are inside the top six in Ottawa as a team that's really struggled to find offense. So those are a couple players in deeper leagues that could get a boost with the trade.
You know what? Sifting through the names of players who were dealt that are steadily available on the waiver wire, I think the biggest winners or benefiters, Dylan Cousins going to Ottawa and Brock Nelson, who we just talked about, going to Colorado. Would you agree, Jake? Is there some other guys that come to mind too?
Hard to disagree in terms of the bump, right? Brock Nelson going from a very stale Islanders offense to maybe playing with Val Nichushkin. I don't know exactly how they want to order their lines. That top line with Lekkonen and Natchez and McKinnon has obviously been really good recently, so maybe you just keep that together. So I would think that Brock Nelson, for me, is probably the biggest bump in all of this. And Ottawa made some sneaky moves, guys. Like, they're not all in, obviously, and they're not in a position where they need to be going all in and in this arms race with other teams in the Atlantic, but I thought they made some sneaky good moves for the now and also for the future. Dylan Cousins is someone that can obviously help them down the stretch, but he's also there for the next few years as maybe that window starts to extend. So, Meany, are you maybe in on the Sens a little bit as a sneaky dark horse? Obviously, they have to make the playoffs first, but do you think they could actually make some noise with this roster?
I still think they needed more offensively, but I liked their day, right? I really did like the Cousins pickup. I think he's got more to offer from a 5-on-5 perspective as maybe a shutdown centerman as opposed to Josh Norris. And then I do like Fabian Zetterlund. I think even from a fantasy hockey standpoint, he touches a lot of categories. He can shoot the puck. He can throw his body around. Maybe he finds himself on the first power play. That's possible. Norris was on that PP. But, you know, I look at some of the other teams that were fighting for a playoff spot. The Canadiens didn't do anything. The Flyers didn't do anything. The Islanders didn't do anything, right? They lose Nelson. The Blue Jackets didn't do anything. Detroit didn't do anything either. So the Sens and the Rangers are two teams that I think will be right there at the end of the day with the Blue Jackets fighting. And we'll talk about maybe the Devils' direction as well, as they try to do a couple things. But of course, without Jack Hughes and Dougie Hamilton, it doesn't look good for them. But another player, you're talking about players that were traded. I mean, how about Oliver Bjorkstrand here, Nick, right? I mean, scored in his debut. I know he's probably not going to get the same type of minutes, but his line mates are going to be better if he finds himself in the second line with Brendan Hagel. Heck, he could be on the first power play. Like, they didn't replace that right-handed shot with Stamkos leaving. Like, he could find himself on that first unit in Tampa with the studs, and he's somebody to keep an eye on.
It's true. I think I have him on my watch list right now. If you guys recall the other night playing that wild and chaotic game against Buffalo, they were on the third line. They put Bjorkstrand and Yanni Gourde together and just adding depth up and down that lineup. But I think on my watch list more so because I think to have that long-standing fantasy value, I need Bjorkstrand in the top six. But those are some stealth pickups. Obviously, the familiarity with Yanni Gourde in that market and Bjorkstrand just needed a change of scenery, Jake. So I like both those looks right now.
I like what Meany said about the possibility of being on that where Stamkos was on that power play. Obviously, any power play that has Nikita Kucherov on it, guys, you could put anybody else out there and they're going to be just fine. But Bjorkstrand can rip it. We know that. So you put him with the right guys and he could be very sneaky. I saw him hanging out on a lot of waiver wires. I think he's probably one of the more picked up players this week. So I like him. Obviously, guys, we saw it was basically an arms race in that Atlantic division. Yeah. And Nick, I know you follow it closely covering the Toronto Maple Leafs. They waited till the last minute. They make the Brandon Carlo move. Maybe not a sexy fantasy move, but a solid defenseman. They go get Scott Laughton as well. What do you make of the everything in the Atlantic? Is there somebody that comes out of that mess of teams, Florida, Tampa, Toronto, that you're favoring after the deadline?
Wild. Just that sequence where Brad Marchand goes to the Florida Panthers and then it's like, oh, doing my Leafs podcast, I was like, well, they're doomed. And then the response to get a top four defenseman the way they did, like the futures appeal on both those squads, I think specifically pertaining to fantasy hockey, there is intrigue there. Brad Marchand, the captain of the Bruins, going to the hated rival. Didn't he like sucker punch? Was it Sam Bennett in last year's playoffs? Yeah. Like, I wonder, honestly, and maybe I'm in the minority, I always wonder about chemistry, boys. And I remember coming on this podcast a couple years ago, Patrick Kane, Vladimir Tarasenko, Mikkola, all go to the New York Rangers, and they just could not find it. I'm not disparaging the work of Bill Zito. I think he's put together a really, really strong roster. I like the Florida Panthers. I think they're the team to beat right now, aside from Edmonton, for a reason. But chemistry-wise, I wonder about that, Jake, and I wonder about health. Matthew Tkachuk, when's he coming back? But man, it's so cool to see Brad Marchand. Maybe cool is not the right word, but Brad Marchand to be on the Florida Panthers. Imagine him on the line with like Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk. That'd be insane.
Man, that team could be so annoying in the playoffs if everybody's healthy. We're not really sure the timeline of Brad Marchand here. So from a fantasy perspective, I don't know if he's going to help us in our fantasy playoffs. But from a playoff perspective, obviously the Panthers aren't making this trade. I don't think if they didn't get some sort of word that Marchand is going to come back. Meany, how important is winning the Atlantic division become all of a sudden? I mean, it's always important to win your division, but if you're Toronto, Tampa, Florida, so much added pressure now down the stretch to lock up that one spot, right? And force the other two teams to play each other in that 2-3 matchup.
Absolutely. It's everything, right? It really is. And it's not going to be as slighted the two wildcard teams in the East, but the conference is top heavy. And so if you're going to avoid playing Tampa Bay or Florida, and if you're in Toronto, you get the first spot. And I like what they did. They're not going to, you know, move the needle in the betting market or the fantasy hockey market, but they filled needs. And I really like Scott Laughton as a player. He can do a lot of different things for you, especially at 5-5 and kill some penalties. And he's a tough player to play against as well. But yeah, I mean, I really liked what the Panthers and what the Lightning have done. And if you look at those two teams combined, what is it, five straight trips to the Stanley Cup Finals, right? And Tampa getting Yanni Gourde back. And you're right. That what a line, Nick. And we will probably see it, assuming that those guys are healthy, like Matthew Tkachuk. And for Sam Bennett, playing with Marchand and Four Nations, they talked about, you know, just bygones, let it be. And they were able to play together on a line and produce. So the Panthers are, even with Seth Jones guys, right? Like, for me, if I'm ranking winners, we talked about Colorado, we talked about Dallas. But the Florida Panthers are right there again, and I wouldn't be surprised if they made another run.
It's going to be a bloodbath, and you can't not like that roster for the Florida Panthers, regardless of health, with Tkachuk and obviously Brad Marchand. And I think that Atlantic in general, you guys talked about in the Eastern Conference, a couple teams I anticipated making some moves really didn't do much, like Detroit. Another reunion with Peter Mrazek. I don't know does anything for his fantasy value. Do they think they can dress four goalies at a time? Maybe. But I expected a bit of a boost from them. The other thing I noticed, I like the Kuzmenko pickup for the Los Angeles Kings. I know he's been moved 17 times in the last 2 years, but the potential of him playing with Kopitar and Kempe, I would monitor that when it comes to the waiver wire. Anything else, Jake, that you wanted to add on that front?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought up Kuzmenko. He's been a really interesting file over the last few years. It feels like once he gets to a new location, he has that immediate impact. Yeah. And there's that immediate boost. So we don't know exactly, as we talk right now, what the line combos are going to look like in LA, but I'd have to think they give him a pretty good look and a chance to succeed offensively. So I like that. And while we're on the Pacific Division, it was relatively quiet over there, Meany. I thought we were going to get the big splash from Vegas. I don't know if maybe they were kicking tires on some of these players. Brad Marchand was somebody I thought that just felt so Vegas. Ultimately, Florida steps up and makes that move, but pretty quiet for the Vegas Golden Knights. That being said, they make their moves. They go get Riley Smith, Brandon Saad. That Knights team, to me, I don't know if you agree or disagree, means to me, they still feel like the team to beat in the Pacific. I don't know if you'd favor LA or Edmonton there, but I'm still liking how that Vegas roster shaping up.
Yeah, and I think they had a tweet earlier just to troll everyone, and I was like, oh man, is Brad Marchand going to Vegas? Because that's something that just wouldn't shock anybody. But yeah, they own the division, the Pacific. They've been dominant at home. They've been dominant in the West. So I really like where they're at, and you get William Karlsson back. Of course, he's familiar with Riley Smith. He's been skating, so those two will be on a line. There's no doubt on that third line. So, you know, Winnipeg didn't do a whole lot. Washington didn't do a whole lot. These two teams have been amazing all year long. Washington made all their moves in the offseason, but smaller moves, just like the Leafs with Tanev going back to Winnipeg. The last time he was there, they went on their deepest run, I think in 2018. They're in the third round of the Western Conference, and then Luke Shen. So, again, what we talked about in the Atlantic, right, Nick? Avoiding Dallas and Colorado for Winnipeg. Just make sure you lock down that division, and then maybe you can meet one of those two teams in the second round.
Of course, the most active team all day long was the Boston Bruins. And Means, I thought you had one of the tweets of the day, the Will Smith meme of David Pastrnak, because that's all I could think about. If you own David Pastrnak and you're getting set for the fantasy playoffs, like, who's dishing this guy the puck? Is it Casey Mittelstadt? Is it Elias Lindholm? Like, Lindholm's done in the back end. McAvoy's done. Jeremy Swayman owners have to be a little annoyed too. It was the right move, don't get me wrong, Jake, for the Boston Bruins. They had to reset, and I think this is what it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be a full-blown rebuild, but they're going to reset here. But the fantasy value of that team specifically, they went from a team I wanted part of to start the year. Now I want no part of anybody on that roster, quite frankly.
I would be sweating a little bit if I was a Pastrnak owner and relying on him for the fantasy playoffs. Now, the other side to that is there's no one else there, so maybe he's just going to fire the puck like 8 or 9 times a game, right? So maybe the shots on goal will be there. But like you mentioned, yeah, you need someone to get him the puck, and they're very thin down the middle of the ice. They already were thin down the middle of the ice, and they make these moves. The back end would scare me a little bit as well. If I'm a Swayman owner, he might be facing a little extra rubber here. But ultimately, Meany, I thought this was the right move for Boston. I was curious how many pieces they would sell off. And in my mind, I thought, really? Like, they're actually going to trade Brad Marchand? We've actually gotten to this point. But Boston, not afraid to sell off some pieces. And ultimately, Meany, I think it's the right move for where that team was at.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked, I think, on this show when they fired Jim Montgomery, and I think we all said, listen, he's a short end of the stick, right? I mean, it was the roster right from the get-go, you know, not having a contract for Jeremy Swayman at the time. They traded Linus Allmark, and then some of their players just getting a little bit older, and, you know, this is a team we've seen for years with Bergeron and Chara and Marchand, and now all those guys are gone. I think Bruins fans are feeling it a little bit this weekend, maybe feeling like the return for Marchand is underwhelming, and then he's to a division rival, and the Florida Panthers have taken them out of the playoffs over the past couple of years. But to answer your question, Nick, like I would say Mittelstadt is somebody to keep an eye on in deeper formats, yeah, because the usage rate should be high. They should give him an opportunity. Maybe he plays on the wing with Lindholm, but the Zacha, Geeky, and Pasternak line has been together for quite some time with Mason Laurie on the back end. So I think those are four players that still may have some value because of the usage rate, but ultimately this is a team you're going to want to fade. They play the Lightning over the weekend. We'll be taking Tampa on the puck line.
Yes, we will. It's exactly the play I made before coming on and doing this podcast. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. A variety of different routes we can go, obviously, with the fallout of trade deadline day and the stretch drive to the Stanley Cup playoffs here, boys. Let's start with Cup futures, because I think that's really interesting. Post-deadline, Dallas at plus 550, number one, plus 550 for Florida, tie with them, plus 750 for Edmonton. Colorado at plus 800, Vegas plus 1,000, Washington and Toronto at plus 1,100, Tampa at plus 1,200, Carolina plus 1,300. Winnipeg is an interest for me, plus 1,300. You have the LA Kings at plus 2,500. What sticks out for you, Jake?
So this, I love looking at this stuff, especially after the dust has settled now, yeah, and we know exactly what all these rosters are going to look like. Actually, two teams that you mentioned there that didn't do anything, not anything, but they didn't do much at the deadline, and I think that was the right move, Washington and Winnipeg, two teams that are having excellent seasons, and I made the case all week, do not mess with a good thing. Okay, Washington goes out and gets Beauvillier, and Winnipeg makes a couple minor moves as well. Nothing that's going to shake up the chemistry on the team, and I think that's a good thing. You mentioned that Winnipeg number is pretty nice. I know the downside to it is you're in the same division as Colorado and Dallas, but you hope they beat each other up in that first round. And Meany, if I'm a Caps ticket holder, which by the way, I am a Caps ticket holder, I'm feeling pretty good about how this has all played out. Jack Hughes is done for the year for the Devils. The Canes don't have Rantanen, don't have Natchez. They replace him with Stankoven, who might be good in the future, but right now he's certainly not on that level. It's right there for the taking. That path to the conference final for the Washington Capitals, to me, looks pretty clear right now.
Yeah, I think it's the best number on the board, and I do agree with you guys with the Jets, but for me, I just don't think that they'll get by Dallas or Colorado. But for Washington, you mentioned it, man, the path. I mean, Carolina, they were actually cup favorites, whether you agreed with it or not, and they go from 5-1 to 13-1 with Mikko Rantanen. And God, not only did they lose Mikko Rantanen, they didn't do anything else. Like, they didn't try to replace him, really, with outside of Logan Stankoven. So I look at Washington and getting one of the wildcard teams starting at home and then getting one of Carolina and New Jersey potentially, and you mentioned it, right? Missing some of those top guys and then getting to the Eastern Conference Final, you're in the mix there, you know, in the Final Four. So I do like that number, and I know a lot of people that have been following me over the past couple of years have had Dallas Stars futures suggestions. Hopefully you rode them again, because I know that number is not strong, but this is a team, Nick, that's been knocking on the door over the past couple of years, the Western Conference Finals in each of the last two seasons, and I know a plus 550 is not great value, but at the end of the day, you have a ticket on them. You have to feel really good about where they're at.
You do, but every year we expect Dallas to take that next step, and they don't. And there's just so many good teams in the Western Conference. It's going to be a bloodbath in both conferences. I wanted to ask you guys as well and poll you about the New Jersey Devils. Since last we spoke, prognosis coming in on Jack Hughes, it's not a good one. He is done for the year. And obviously the numbers severely affected. I don't know if you guys checked it earlier this week to make the playoffs dip quite a bit. I still jumped in around plus 390. Is that a good bet still, Jake? I just don't know if the Devils have it in them without Jack Hughes, without Hamilton on the back end to even make the playoffs right now.
Okay, so we see this in pro sports sometimes. Top player goes out and other players on the roster elevate their game a little bit. And I think the Devils have enough talent to get them into the playoffs, to hang on. It's going to be a battle. And obviously, you can't replace the Jack Hughes, and Dougie Hamilton's banged up right now as well. So they've been dealt a really difficult hand, but it's Timo time, guys. It's time for him to step up. Like, can we get Sharks Timo back again? It's been so long. Fire that puck 5-6 times a game. So that's what I'm hoping to see from the Devils down the stretch. Obviously, Brat, he's sure. There's some talented players still on that Devils roster. So I think they're probably cooked in terms of the Stanley Cup futures market. I certainly wouldn't be buying in on the Devils, especially at, I think they're 28-1 right now. I'd much rather take the Rangers at 50-1 and say maybe they could leapfrog the Devils and get a pretty good number there. So, Meanie, where are you at on the Devils? Do you think they're cooked in terms of a cup contender like I do, and maybe even cooked in terms of a playoff spot?
Yeah, I think they're definitely cooked in terms of a Stanley Cup contender. I don't like where they're at, especially with the three dogs in the Atlantic, right? Toronto and Florida, and those are two teams that and Tampa. Those are three teams that I think are just well above the Devils of where they're at. Right? It's hard to replace Jack Hughes, but also Dougie Hamilton is considered week to week. I'm kind of with you, Jake, on maybe they just squeak in. I could really see a scenario where the Rangers and the Blue Jackets catch them. I'm looking ahead at their schedule. They have 19 remaining games, so fewer than most teams. At least 12 of them are at home, but they do have a couple back. Like, they have Winnipeg twice, they have Minnesota twice. Those aren't going to be easy games for them. They have two games against the Blue Jackets. You're not going to want to get swept against Columbus in those two games. So I think that they may be a wild card team as opposed to, you know, the third team in the Metro, Nick. But if you're bouncing them, and I think that's a good ticket you have. I mean, at the time of the announcement with the injury, they were 6-1 to miss the playoffs. So you have yourself some good value there. But if they're out, who's in? Is it Ottawa? Is it Columbus? I think we all in agreement, Nick, that maybe the Rangers are in.
Yeah, the Rangers are a team that I would definitely take a flyer on to make the playoffs. Ottawa, by their moves, I think they're good enough to begin with. But adding Zetterlund, adding sort of Cousins into the mix there, taking that next step, I expect the Sens to be in there. Detroit stood pat. So you got to sort of gauge what the teams around there on the bubble did. Like Luke Cunning, if you like that pickup for Columbus, I think that team is just content where they are in the standings and have had a better season than expectation. So I think they're going to be involved in that conversation as well. But I want to ask you guys about the great chase as well. 10 goals he needs in the last 19 games to pass Alex Ovechkin. To pass Wayne Gretzky. Alex Ovechkin's next game Sunday afternoon at home against the Seattle Kraken, Jake. Mm-hmm.
Pretty nice matchup there against Seattle. Yeah. You'd have to think that Washington should win that game. So the thing is, you just don't want to win by too much. Don't get up by 3 or 4 and cost yourself an empty net chance. We need Washington up by 1 or 2 in the third period, and then we could play that live Alex Ovechkin anytime goal, which if you get it in the third period, they're up 1 or 2. Usually you can get between 3-1, 5-1 on those odds, depending on when you pull the trigger. I think that's worth a play here down the stretch, guys. I think any empty net situation, I don't care if they're up 1, if they're up 2, they're going to have Ovechkin out there. Now, that being said, Meanie, I don't know if I want to see him tie or break the record with an empty netter. I'm fine with him racking up the empty netters right now, but I want to see him pass Wayne in classic OV style, and he has scored some nice goals this year, so that's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, we all want the 1T from the top of the circle, the bottom of the circle. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're all hoping for, and honestly, like, it's going to happen. That's how it's going to be, because it's been Ovechkin.
Scripted? What?
It is. So we got the script, guys. What he's doing this year at the 18% shooting rate, the highest mark of his career, he fractured his leg and he hasn't missed any time at all, really. Like, when it comes to his on-ice production, it's been at an all-time best. So I love that call, Nick, just taking a look at him this weekend against the Kraken. And, you know, I guess more love for Dallas, like in Edmonton on Saturday and in Vancouver on Sunday. Like, let's just ride this team that has the best power play, the best penalty kill, their first in goals, their first in wins since January 1st. So Canucks squeaked out a W against Anaheim, but I think that they're a team that we can pick on moving forward as well. It's another team that really didn't do anything at the trade deadline.
I'm excited for this weekend and the games, the slate of games you talked about. Dallas-Edmonton, I think, is going to be obviously a really, really good one. I'm going to take the Oilers in that game. I think every time a new player comes in, your post-deadline, it takes a bit of time to get acclimated, especially a guy, star player like Rantanen. So there's going to be that expectation right away, and Edmonton needs some points here. They've been struggling as of late. Just hung on you know, barely to beat the Montreal Canadiens the other night. So I like the Oilers in that game. With you means as well. I like the it's going to be so fascinating to bet against Boston down the stretch, but I think that is the right play considering we'll see what the numbers, but I like the Tampa puck line in that game against the Boston Bruins on Saturday as well.
Yeah,
yes,
and,
absolutely. And Jake, you want to get on Bjorkstrand? I think there's good value to just
there you go.
Jump on some lesser known players because that's what's going to happen when you have a matchup against the Boston Bruins. You know, the top lines, sure, but you take a look at the second line and the third line against that defense, and they're so shorthanded up front.
Boys, the Hockey Night doubleheader on Saturday is a great one. You got the Leafs and the Avs going head-to-head, obviously with those teams being pretty aggressive. And, Nick, you mentioned that Edmonton-Dallas matchup. I think I'm with you on Edmonton, although it feels like they're not playing, even beating Montreal the other night. I thought McDavid looked off for most of the game. Then he makes the great play in 3-on-3 overtime, obviously, and that's all the space McDavid needs to make something happen. So I am a little bit worried about how Edmonton's playing, but maybe you take a breath out of the deadline as well. I'm going to look to the Rangers in that game against the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa obviously shifting things around. We saw an emotional Brady Tkachuk on Friday losing his good buddy, Josh Norris. So I don't know if the deadline maybe took a little bit out of that team, but now you have to play a matinee game against a Rangers team, meaning I think is starting to play some pretty good hockey right now.
Yeah, JT Miller and Mika Zibanejad, these guys have been well over a point per game since the addition of JT Miller playing together. Mika moving over to the wing, all of a sudden like Panarin is starting to get going with Trocheck and Lafreniere again. So yeah, you could probably get those two guys for, you know, plus money for a point against Ottawa. Maybe look at Florida, right? And Barkov and Reinhardt and Verhaeghe have been really good. The Sabres have been very, very leaky. Maybe this is the Seth Jones breakout. I know he played on the second power play in the first couple games for the Panthers, but I really do believe that he's going to get an opportunity to play on that first unit. Then looking at Sunday, the Jets on the road against Carolina, I do believe we can pick on the Hurricanes as well, at least unders when they play. They're not going to score a lot of goals. They're going to continue to play the style that they like to play. And then Nick, Vegas at home, dominant. I think the Kings are a team that's slipping.
I am forecasting a barn burner between Toronto and Colorado on Saturday night. So I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take the Maple Leafs to bounce back in that game. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Boys, let's tie a bow on this one. Last call. Final thoughts, Jake, we'll start with you.
Well, my final thoughts, I'll keep the Vegas love coming here, guys. When we're talking future bets, the Vegas Golden Knights still 10-1, still double digits for Vegas, and Edmonton's around 7-1. If you look at division odds, Vegas is minus 300 to win that division, and Meany mentioned it. They're so good at the Fortress, dominant on home ice. So if they can lock up that home ice advantage on that side of the bracket, I like the Vegas Golden Knights' chances to at least get to a conference final. So I'm going to be looking at that number, Meany, 10-1 for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, it's such a good call. And I think, you know, as we put the bow on it, as you mentioned, Nick, we're talking about some of these matchups, and you have to just kind of forecast what these matchups are going to look like. And the path is going to be a little bit easier to get to the conference finals for Vegas. I'll give some love to Tampa. I know we've talked a lot about Toronto and certainly Florida, but I really like what Tampa did, and they're playing fantastic hockey over the last month or so. And guys, Andre Vasilevskiy looks like vintage Vasilevskiy. After the past couple years, it's been a little so-so, but this run that they're on, he's looked really, really strong. And now Tampa has three lines, and Cooper's got his old buddy Yanni Gourde back. He always is to play those matchups with Yanni Gourde on that third line of killing penalties. So it's certainly going to be tough if it's Toronto or it's Florida first round. But Nick, I really like what this Lightning team is at. 11-1 is a pretty solid number.
Well, there you have it, the fallout from a chaotic and wild NHL trade deadline 2025. And again, the stretch drive to the Stanley Cup playoffs now underway. Make sure you go check out the latest editions of Energy Line and NHL Unscripted. Looking forward to Monday as well, the return of Pete Jensen to hear his thoughts here on the trade deadline. We'll also look at week 21 waiver wire options in that edition coming your way. Thanks to producer Phil Constantino. For Jay Conn and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Alberg. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.